How is baseball emblematic of the United States?
Hey, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get
What can we learn from baseball aside from the pleasure of the pastime? Well, Bill Woodward thinks we can learn quite a bit about the United States. Bill is a professor of history at Seattle Pacific University. He's doing a talk called Coming Home, Baseball's America for Humanities Washington. Thank you very much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
It is great to be here in the off season.
People might think, oh, how could baseball stand in for the United States? But as we were talking about beforehand, my hometown, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, they found an old bylaw written back in 1791 that barred baseball, the baseball written as we know it, from being played because it was too close to the meeting house windows where they might be smashed. So evidence that baseball has been around since the country.
One of the things I like to play with is the almost religious nature of the pastime. And of course, that's an iconic event because in this instance, in the 1790s, Pittsfield wanted to make sure that the meeting house survived, even if the game did not.
Do you see you say baseball is emblematic as a metaphor? Is it metaphorically like what was going on in the country while it was developing?
What I do in this talk, which shout out for Humanities Washington, which is its Speaker's Bureau sends me out on the hustings, is to trace the history of baseball through seven eras. And in each of these, I show how what is going on in baseball, in fact, tracks with what is going on in culture. Just one example, in the 1920s, we really had the first decade of mass media. Radio has burst on the scene. Mass circulation magazines like Reader's Digest, the Hollywood film industry. And it's really the first great age of celebrities, most notably perhaps Charles Lindbergh. But certainly Babe Ruth became an American celebrity, not just because he was a great player, and not just because he played in the center of the universe, New York, but because the mass media picked on personalities now, in a sense, for the first time in American history, and elevated them into the status of celebrity.
So did baseball lead us into the celebrity era, or was the celebrity era going to come anyway, and baseball just happened to be the first one up?
Well, it's one of those chicken and egg questions. As all of these ways in which I relate baseball to American culture seem to be, clearly in one instance, baseball led, and that's with the Jackie Robinson signing and the post-World War II grudging but relentless opening of America to African Americans in a more meaningful way. So I acknowledge that baseball at times leads. Mostly what baseball does is illustrate in my talk.
Oh, give me an example of what it illustrates. And how.
Late 1800s, the time of monopolies and trusts and John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie and small town self-styled moguls get together and create a cartel in 1876 to prevent their employees from moving to other companies and to control who has access to their commodity. The commodity was baseball. The cartel we know as the National League. Mm. And it was created explicitly to bar the gates and to control the game by these people who really saw themselves as mini Andrew Carnegies in their industry.
Well, the growth of the big business, the creation of the celebrity. And you also write about how baseball's standardization in the 19th century kind of paralleled standardization going on in business and elsewhere in our society.
Business invented statistics for the purpose of controlling management, predicting markets, assessing cost-benefit ratios, and so on. And baseball had already, early in the century, discovered the value of statistics as a record of the game. But what happens is the dimensions of the game, the statistics become standardized. 1893, for example, the pitching distance is set at 60 feet, 6 inches. The standardizing of four balls and three strikes, which varied over the years. Standardizing the bat shape and design. Actually had a student do an academic paper on that topic. And it illustrates that standardization, that professionalization, that look for ways of making life predictable and even making contests something that can be projected. But as much as we've elevated that process in the age of computer and Moneyball, I still think we ought to play the game.
Bill Woodward is my guest. He's a professor of history at Seattle Pacific University, and he's doing this talk called Coming Home, Baseball's America for Humanities Washington. If this is something you'd like your group to hear about, you can contact them and arrange for him to come speak for your group, and they'll take care of that. It's America's quasi-religious experience.
Yes. I actually have a little fun by naming each of the eras I talk about. For books of the Bible, with all due respect to both the Bible and the game, it strikes me that it's an epic of religious, biblical proportions, I like to say. And my illustration there is 1989, where the Chicago Cubs won the division pennant. And that only happens, everybody knows, with providential intervention. And the reason that the deity smiled on Chicago, I firmly believe, is because Vance Law was the third baseman and Mark Grace was the first baseman. And therefore, you had Law and Grace in perfect symmetry. And when the Cubs got defeated by the Giants for the league championship, you recall there was an earthquake that the Lord brought to give the World Series championship to Oakland in the East Bay instead of the Giants in San Francisco. Is that a biblical metaphor or what? I ask.
Bill also teaches a class in this at Seattle Pacific. He assures me that it is not an easy course at all. So where do you apply the rigorous standards? If a student walks in and thinks they're going to have an easy course just reading up about baseball, how do you disabuse them of that notion?
Well, they have to do a spreadsheet assignment on baseball statistics and actually get into what we call sabermetric kinds of analysis of player performance. We trace a full history over our 10-week quarter, and they have to write an essay on the emblematic aspect, mm-hmm. how baseball illustrates the American experience, as well as an argument on who the best ball players from all eras are as a final paper, and then defend their choice in a final speech. We have fun, but learn about college work.
You know, some of you might be like Jennifer, who wrote to us on Facebook when she found out we were going to be talking about this. She says, I think American football would be more apt. Why is baseball a special case when it comes to America?
Well, I'll go to the great philosopher, comic George Carlin, the late George Carlin, who said that baseball is clearly better than football because football's metaphors are all martial. They're all militant. The field general throws the bomb to get to the end zone. But baseball is played in a park, and you sacrifice to bring your teammate home. There is something both with tongue-in-cheek and more seriously that I think baseball has represented, if not the reality of American life, the ideals we have for fair play, though we cheat, we steal, for a symmetrical and yet open-ended kind of a game. So we have very fixed dimensions. We have 90-feet bases,
yeah.
But we have fences that can be moved in and out and designs that can shape the character of the game through its environment. That kind of fixed perspective and yet open-endedness,
mm-hmm.
I think, for me, gives baseball a little bit of an edge over football. But if she wants to argue that the America that has become what it is today is part of the decline illustrated by the rise of football and the decline of baseball, we could have a conversation.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how do you take this up to the present day? Certainly, we've seen a lot of changes in our society. We saw the economic collapse. We saw the recession, which we're still kind of climbing out of. Do you see things in baseball that are emblematic of recent history?
The obvious one is the great word of our age. Thank you, Thomas Friedman. The world is flat. It's an age of globalization. And a few years back, look at the Mariner 40-man roster. And you had, of course, Ichiro Suzuki. But there was Edgar Martinez from Puerto Rico and Felix Hernandez from Venezuela and Ryan Roland Smith from Australia and Shinsu Chu from Taiwan or Korea. I should know this. And the internationalization of the game illustrated this coming spring with another round of the World Baseball Classic, is very much a part of the globalization of today that is caused by both technology and increased movements of people around the world to where they can best fulfill their dreams.
Boy, it is fun to see a baseball game in another country. I got a chance to be in South Korea this summer, and from the very beginning of the game, from before the beginning of the game right through to the end, that crowd was up and singing for every second. There was no relaxation whatsoever. They were so pumped up about baseball, as so many Americans are. Bill Woodward, professor of history at Seattle Pacific University, his talk is called Coming Home, Baseball's America, and is for Humanities Washington. If you'd like to find out how you can have him talk more about this subject, just get in touch with Humanities Washington. Thanks so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Always fun to talk baseball.
Here's Macklemore's Ode to Seattle Baseball.
I used to sit with my dad in the garage. The sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Dave Lee House's voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995. The division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning, got the whole town listening, swung on and belted, the words distorted, Joey Cora rounds third, here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate, not in time, my oh my, the Mariners win it, yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome, we had just made history.
Ah, the memories. Dave Niehaus there announcing that 1995 baseball game.